Welcome to Virtual School Assembly. I'm your host, Tyler Christensen. I'm a productivity speaker, author, and classroom teacher. Here at Virtual School Assembly, I interview Hollywood celebrities, professional athletes, Olympians, speakers, and educators who share messages of inspiration, education, and hope to better prepare you for an ever-changing and uncertain world. Thanks for joining us. Let's get started. Welcome back to Virtual School Assembly. Today, our guest is Richard Fant. Richard is an Atlanta, Georgia native and an Indiana University graduate with a master's degree in public affairs. He's a professional football player, having spent a few years with the Chicago Bears, and is currently a free agent. And he's looking at working towards a PhD in higher education. So we've got a lot we can talk about today, Richard. But first, welcome to the show. It's good to have you here.
No, thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah. I think we connected on this earlier, but I'm also an IU graduate. So I did a master's degree at Indiana University. And so, you know, I still don't have a lot of connections to that area, but I miss Mother Bear's Pizza and some of, you know, B-Town was a cool place to be for a while. Yeah. So it's nice to have a fellow Hoosier on the show today.
No, definitely. I'm a Buffalo's guy. and then Buchetto's Pizza was my place going
up. Well, that's okay. All right. Now, let's start back before IU and talk a little bit about your upbringing. I know you're from the Atlanta area. Tell us just a little bit about your childhood, where you're from, what it was like for you going up through school in that area.
Yeah. It's kind of, you know, for me, born in Atlanta, Georgia, Northside Hospital, right, about 10 minutes from downtown Atlanta. My parents moved out to Douglasville when I was about five and went to elementary and middle school out there. So it was a lot different from my parents. They always preached education. School was always important, no matter what extracurriculars I had going on. It was, listen, these are the grades that we expect. If you don't live up to that, then, hey, we got to take something away. So for me, it's always understanding that school is important. And for me, I kind of made school a game. You know, I treated it like every spelling test I wanted to win. And just, you know, be able to show my parents and them, you know, one, be proud, but also wanted to be able to stand out that, you know, although that I may be talented in athletics and other things, that, you know, education is serious for me. And I'm also intelligent and have a lot to bring in that sense. But once I got to high school, my parents were like, you know, the quality of education that you're getting is not what you deserve. And we want to make sure that you're good, no matter how good you become. In football or basketball, we want to make sure that knowledge-wise that you're up there and that you get the most that you can. So they moved me to a private school in Fayetteville, Georgia, is where I ultimately met my wife. And so for me, that was a great experience, but extremely different. Coming from public school and going to a private school setting, one, the rules, how strict everything was. We all wore uniforms every day. I didn't know how to tie a tie up to that point. I never had to. So the nice thing, I had a great group of seniors, and especially on the basketball and football team. So they kind of taught me how to tie a tie early on when we had to transition to that. And then going to Catholic school, you take religion class, and I'm Christian and non-denominational. So like the Catholicism, everything was new to me. And I had great teachers that helped kind of me get over that bridge. And it definitely was a struggle that first year. But all these experiences being in these different environments and places ultimately helped mold who I became, who I am, and who I'm still becoming. And I take all those life lessons with me and continue to grow and see how I can give back to either middle schoolers, high schoolers, or, you know, now, since I'm a little older now, college students and student athletes.
Right. Now, I want to talk about that transition from public to private, just because this is an experience that a lot of kids have, either going to a new school or a different kind of school or just adjusting. You know, everybody goes from elementary to middle or junior high to high school, and that transition can be really tricky for a lot. But for you, it was not just going to the next school, but actually a transition to a completely new world where you didn't know the people and things like that. And on top of that, you're juggling athletics with academics. What were some of the things that made that transition easier for you? What are some of the things that you did to make friends right away and to adjust to the new environment?
Yeah, so for me, it was one. So Fayetteville and Douglasville are an hour apart. So my parents made a big transition. A lot of nights I stayed at my uncle, who only lived 10, 15 minutes from where I went to private school at. So like that helped a lot, but it's also different not being home as much. Right. But sports helped for me personally. We had a small school, so being on varsity football was pretty easy. But I made the varsity basketball team as a true freshman. Only three people had ever done that before me. So that kind of that was around October, put my name out there, and people are like, who's this freshman? And people started embracing me like that. So it probably took me about 3, 4 months before I really found a solid group of friends. Everybody else kind of knew at least one or two people, and I was kind of the only one there who I had met one or two people in the summer at workouts. But we still never clicked because I live so far away. So for me, one, sports kind of helped me, but then people got to know my personality, know who I was as a person, and that kind of fast tracked everything to me, making some friends, learning my way around. But the adjustment was still difficult. Classroom wise, it wasn't too difficult. The sizes were about the same. Some of the material that we went over, I'd already actually learned. So I was able to go ahead and either skip a class and take this honors class or go to the next level, especially in mathematics. So for me, just keeping people around there, had my family, they always checked in. Mom and dad always were very like, how's everything going? How are you liking it? And although it took me a little time to adjust, it's like anything, you ultimately do adjust to it, whether it's great group of friends that help you get through it, or you just kind of start learning your lay of the land. So it definitely was an adjustment. My wife would probably say it took me a year or two to fully adjust. Because naturally coming from public school, some of the rules I didn't like. The uniform thing was so strange to me just because we all had to wear the same thing. The pants looked a little weird. They were a little tighter. So, and I was one of those kids, I wore sweatpants and shorts a lot to school. So it was very it's different having a dress shirt on every day and having dress pants on and then Sperry's. I had never had a pair of Sperry's before. So, but I enjoyed it. And it definitely was a transition, but ultimately was made pretty easy by the people around me.
Well, it's interesting to hear that sports helped with the transition, because for a lot of kids, having something, some part of their identity, being really good at something does help with that. I know I moved around a bit as a kid, and having something you can say, okay, well, this is my thing, and then you're naturally going to meet people in that area. However, you kind of have a disadvantage when it comes to that, because as far as, especially in basketball, you're not real tall. I'm 5'10" or 5'11". So
Yeah, but
you have that going against you. It's awesome to hear that you made varsity as a true freshman. But a lot of kids will say, well, I'm just not built for sports, or I have these disadvantages. What made it so that you could excel at such a young age, despite maybe the height disadvantage or the size disadvantage?
I think it was just probably my tenacity and my just will. I tell my wife and friends all the time, I probably should have never made it to NFL. I honestly probably shouldn't even got a college scholarship. If you look at how things were, I was fast, but I was always, just one of those things knew I had to work harder than other people. But for people who may feel like they aren't talented enough sports-wise, there's so many groups, especially when you go to private school, they have so many different programs and extracurriculars you can get into. So being a part of a group like that, even outside of sports, I had some friends in band, and my wife was actually in band growing up, and she's like, you meet so many people like that. So for me, it's everybody is a group for most people. I know some people say like, no, there's just not a group. But it's kind of figuring out what you could bring. And for me, sports was always my outlet. I, at 11 years old, said that I was going to make it professional in either basketball or football. And thankfully, it happened. Obviously, a little luck is on your side. For me, grace of God looking out for me throughout the way, and then matched with my work ethic. And I believe, some things, bumps come in the road. Never thought I would get injured like this, and my career could be over before it truly starts. But for me, it just was working hard, believing every day. If you have a dream, always believe in it. Work to make it so. And it's not a guarantee that it will happen, but at least you could look back at the end of the day and say, like, I gave it everything I had, and I enjoyed it. And that's the one thing for me, no matter what, basketball and football, I dedicated a lot to it, but it took me a lot of places. It's still taking me a lot of places, and I just thoroughly loved it and enjoyed it. And the height thing kind of was just like, I never even thought about it. Like, it didn't really hit me until kind of I got to college. And you see, like, I looked at our IU basketball team, and I'm like, man, all these guys are like 6'3", 6'4", taller. And then football, nowadays football is made for anybody. I mean,
Right.
It doesn't matter your height, your weight, you know, some, especially nowadays. I remember when I first got there, my weight was an issue. But coaches, you know, over time, if you can play, it's like, listen, we could put a little weight on you, but that was the big thing.
Yeah. So let's talk IU for a minute. So while I was there, I was working on my PhD, and I taught actually a lot of athletes. I had a few basketball players in some of my classes. But you have a few records at IU as far as career for most breakups, and you started a lot of games. What was kind of the highlight of your playing career while you were at Indiana?
The highlight probably would be the 2016 season. It was my second year starting. The first the year before, I had had a good, really good year, but nobody knew who I was. I was little. People kind of just like it was lucky. The defense not that good, so I didn't get kind of the accolades or attention that I thought I deserved. So that next season, I kind of didn't think about it. I kind of was like, whatever. I'm gonna just go out here and play and end up having the best season of my career, just as a whole. But along with that, one of my best friends, Tigre Scales, was a linebacker. He had the best year of his career. We had our secondary as a whole, everybody, we set records where everybody had 10 plus passes defended. So as a unit and as a team, like, it just felt great because we all excelled and helped each other achieve levels that we have never achieved before. So for that was my highlight. And then being able to graduate early, and then right at the end of that season, I was admitted into the O'Neal School's public affairs master's program. So for me, that was huge because it was an opportunity to get a second degree. And it did make a decision hard between whether I should leave school early and go professionally or stay and start that master's, which I ultimately stayed and started. But that whole year as a whole, I tell my wife all the time, like, man, and that just one chunk of a year, like, I got so blessed with so many meeting people, having a great season, my friends having a great season, and school was going well, and little accolades I got on and off the field, and most of all being able to get back. It's around the time I started to really get into all the things off the field and being able to give back to the community and get involved outside of just athletics. And that felt amazing to do, and did that with some amazing people too. And that's a testament to the leadership we had at IU from Fred Glass, who was our AD at the time, who just retired from being an AD. And then the leadership we had in the support staff and the departments across the whole. So that was an amazing time, and probably the year I would never can never forget and will never forget.
Yeah. Now let's talk a little bit about time management, because you've done something that very, very few professional athletes did. Not only did you graduate from college, but you went ahead and got your master's degree. You graduated early. So you were doing a lot more academics than most athletes will do. Even, you know, when we look at the professional ranks, so many of them don't even finish school because they want to hurry and get on to the pros and things like that. But you were able to do all this. How did you find the time for it? What did you do to, how did you manage your time so that you could still have a social life, so you could still do other things, but excel both on the field as well as in the classroom?
Yeah, I think, shoot, that's a testament to starting back young. I mean, from middle school, I'd always play. I remember I played baseball, football, and basketball on top of school. But you know, the one thing when you play traveling sports, my basketball team was an hour away on the east side of Atlanta. And then baseball was on west side of Atlanta by me. And then football was, it depends on where I was at or if I need to go somewhere to train. And so things are always hectic in my household. But the one thing my parents said is, you go get those grades. So I had to make sure to learn how to balance that. And sometimes it was hard. And all high schoolers, middle schoolers know sometimes, and even college students, you got to pull those late 1 a.m., 2 a.m. to finish your assignments and get up real early. And so for me, that transition to private school was probably when it truly started. Since we're an hour away and my mom had to get to work, I would wake up at 4:45, 5 a.m. most mornings, and then get to the school by 6:37. And then for that, I would be there doing school. And then you have practice after school until like 6:30. And right when I get home by 7:30, I got to get right on it. So for me, I told my wife now and my parents, I said, listen, I'm going to graduate in 3 years. And that was, I wanted to get a master's degree, but ultimately I'm an athlete. And I thought, you know, if I have a chance to go professionally, I want to make sure I have that degree already secured.
Right.
So for me, it was being disciplined. You know, I tell my teammates all the time, listen, you can do both school and football. I mean, for me, it was thinking, and their off time, they like to play video games. For me, I was like, I don't play video games. Well, now I do, but I didn't at the time. And I was just like, I might as well, you know, if I can put some extra classes in our summer months, I can do that. But I'm not going to take away from football. So I may wake up at 4 or 5 a.m. to go work out for football, and I'm or I may just go to bed late, go hit the field around 11 p.m. midnight to get some extra work in. And that's what I did. Everybody deals with it differently. You know your balance. Some people like to get stuff done in the morning. Some people like to do it in the evenings. And the good thing about college is, especially if you're not an athlete, you can set your schedule. But if you are an athlete, they help you a lot. You know, practice for us was always in the morning. And then you have classes between 12 and 5. And then maybe one more meeting. But from 5:30 to about 10, you have to be doing studying or, you know, homework if you have it right there. So it kind of makes sure that, you know, you can keep up. And as you get older, they give you more freedom. And you kind of learn your own schedule and what works best for you. And that was the beautiful thing for me. And once I got to my master's program, I felt like I kind of had it all down. But also that program, I was taking 3-4 classes, but I could space them out. One class might be once a week, or some might just be Tuesday, Thursdays. That one semester I chose to take all 4 of my classes on Tuesday, Thursdays. And I was like, you know, Tuesday, Thursdays will be my class day. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, study and homework, but I can also work out extra if I want to. So I think you just, over time, you kind of adjust. And especially if you are an athlete or if you are in band, you kind of figure out a schedule that works for you for when you can practice your expertise and whether your skill the most. And then when you can do homework and get, make sure you get plenty of sleep as well, which is, you know, for young, when you're young, it's hard. And also your body operates different. I remember not too long ago, 3-4 hours of sleep used to be plenty. I feel like as I get older, I need the 7 to 8.
Yeah. And it continues to change as you age. I'm in my 40s now, and I'm still waking up at 4:30 in the morning to go running, because that's when I can get my workout in. But I think the cool thing that you mentioned here is one of the cool things about being in college is you learn how to set your own schedule, and you it forces you to do some time management. You know, you had that semester where you did Tuesdays and Thursdays. I'm experiencing that now as an adult. Right now, this week, Tuesdays and Thursdays are my interview days. We have 7 or 8 interviews scheduled for today, but tomorrow I don't have anything on the calendar. It's because I'm doing stuff with my family. I have other priorities. And so playing around with that while you're in college can really set you up for some good habits later on in life. And it's cool to see that you've already done that. I mean, you're so young, but you're establishing these habits now that are going to serve you really well for the rest of your life. So that's pretty cool. Let's talk pros for a minute. So you transitioned from IU to Chicago, which is not an easy journey for anyone. What was that process like as a free agent getting signed by Chicago and then spending a few seasons up there?
Yeah, it was that first year was definitely a whirlwind. I remember training in Miami right after I left IU to get prepared for the NFL combine, being so ready, understanding that my draft stock was around the 4th, 5th, 6th round. So knowing I'm most likely getting drafted, and then to tear my pec before I even get to perform at the combine, I'm tearing it on the bench. And knowing that from right there, injury like that could be out a year, I'm probably going to be undrafted and have to sign. And that's what happened, thankfully. A lot of people don't even have the opportunity. So I chose to, you know, be positive about it, look at it as a blessing, because it was. And I signed with Chicago literally right when the draft ended, basically. And went up there the next week, and thankfully for me, I had some friends already up there. Jordan Howard was huge for me, and one of my good friends, Joel E.A. Bunyaway, got signed, and he was a 4th-round pick by them. So I had 2 people up there, and that was great because it made the transition easier. Jordan, who we call Jay Howe, he was so great because he had been there for 2 years already. So I could go to his house and, you know, stay with him, just talk to him. He kind of walked me through some of the things. And so that transition was made easier by, again, having great people that were willing to help me. And I really appreciate that. So that first year was definitely, it was an adjustment. The summer isn't too bad. It's just working out. We do a lot of rookie stuff, which makes the days longer. But it wasn't too bad. It was not until really camp starts. So it was long days. Everything has to be in this. You know, college, they kind of give you some time to learn things. They understand. But NFL, listen, y'all technically all on the same level no matter what. So that camp was having to pick up quick. And for me, I was behind because I tore my pec and I wasn't cleared to do OTA stuff. So I could do individual practices, but not team stuff. So I couldn't actually work through our plays and learn them. So camp was my first time being out there in a full setting, being able to run plays. And I was playing nickel and corner. The nickel is probably one of the hardest positions because you're a linebacker, safety, and a corner all in one, basically. And you have to know so much of everything going on. with both the offense and defense. And so for me, it was a transition, but I started to get it. About a week in, I really felt like I was on my game. I started running with the twos a little bit, holding my own with some of our key players, and then sustained an injury, right, like 3-4 days before our first game. And, you know, thought I was only going to be out about a week or two. That's what they told me, and it turns out that it was more serious. Had to get a surgery 3-4 weeks later. And then during that rehab process that first year, something, we don't know what happened, but the injury like got worse during the rehab process. So ended up, but right before that next season, going on year two, having to get another surgery on the same knee. And then that's where really they kind of knew, we both knew what was coming. So they just allowed me to rehab at home starting that season. And then, yeah, that's where I'm at now. And hopefully in about 5-6 months, I can get back to rehabbing.
Yeah. Well, I think that, an important part of your story is that, no worries. We're here in the middle of this pandemic where the kids watching this video, they have an uncertain future, you know, and we're scared health-wise about what's going to happen with this virus, but there are also a lot of concerns on how's this going to impact my schooling? How's this going to impact, you know, my future prospects for college or for jobs and things like that. Well, you've had that, you know, kind of that's been your last several years has been an uncertain future, not knowing what to expect, having things outside of your control as far as your health and things like that, and just doing what you can. So what would be your advice to these kids looking at this uncertain future as far as, you know, how to take it from day to day and still make progress, even though we don't know what the future will look like?
Yeah, I think that's always the scariest thing. I know one of my biggest things growing up was always, you know, kind of the unknown, you know, wanting to get to my final destination so fast on success. And that's easy to do. And now this puts it as, you know, you had the class of 2020 who's like, what is school going to look like once March hit and they kind of quarantined everybody and shut down everything? So I feel like the biggest thing is, one, you can stay positive, you know, kind of turn it into a positive, even though it was a negative and you couldn't do some things, by doing some things you may not normally get to do, finding some skills you may love, but you never had time and you just work on them. And then I would say keeping in close contact with your people. You know, one thing now about this time that we live in is the phone, electronics, everything. I mean, you can FaceTime, and I'm a big, like, my teammates know if I call you, I'm FaceTiming. There's no regular call. We're going to see each other's face. You're going to, and kind of like a Zoom. And it's nice because you can see how they're actually doing physically and see their reactions to things, you know, see them laugh. So that's always a beautiful thing. But I guess for me, the big thing I've been in staying positive, you know, trying to uplift people, laugh a lot. I mean, that always helps in good times, and know that everything's going to be okay. We're going to get through this and everything's going to come out better. Right. And, you know, I know it's hard because we don't know how long this thing could take to, you know, blow over. It's a tricky time. They're still trying to find out so much about, you know, what it is. How can we cure people? You know, how can we make things better? But I think the big thing is just to keep that positive mindset and continue to just, you know, enjoy, keep people close, check in on people, and keep as much communication. And might as well at this time, especially in the summer, go ahead and do some things that you would have normally not been able to dabble in. You know, if you like to write, if you like to draw, you know, like to do music, may not have time for that because of other things. And that was just like a little hobby you picked on. So right. For me, it's just, you know, like I said, just keep that positive mindset each and every day and know that better days are to come, but this is not the end and things will continue to get better.
Cool. You know, as you've talked, it's interesting that you have the same kind of themes come up over and over. And just through this interview, we see that the positive mindset, that's an important thing. Having a good support system, people around you, that's always been important. And then for you, education, whether that just be learning things, but of course you've had other academic goals. And even moving forward, you're looking at potentially going back for a PhD in higher education. So those three things have always been an important part of your life. And I think as we talk to kids looking forward, those are three things that will serve them really well as well. You know, having a positive attitude, surrounding themselves with good people who are going to uplift them, and then continuing to be educated. And whether that's, like you said, finding a new thing over the summer to work on, developing a new skill, or having actual academic goals as far as college and things like that. I think all three of those things are going to serve kids really well. What would be your final advice moving forward as far as, you know, not just how you've been able to accomplish things, but I want to know, as you talk to kids here, what are the things that have brought you the most happiness? What are the things that have made you so that despite all these things that have happened to you, you've been able to have that positive attitude? So that's what I'm really curious about is how do you have that positive attitude? How does that come around?
I think for me, it's one, helping others. I mean, helping others brings joy not only to those people, but to yourself. You can help somebody either achieve a goal or just know I put a smile on that person's face or made them laugh, even if you don't even know them. That's one thing for me. It makes it easier to see that I helped somebody's day. And you never know. Some people could have been having the worst day until they saw your smile or, you know, heard your voice and you made them laugh. So that's the big thing for me. And then personally, you know, believing in myself, setting high, big goals and not being afraid to chase them. And, you know, sometimes you can set a plan and, you know, for me, plans do not always go perfectly. Sometimes, you know, you go through that bumpy road. We all seen the images where it's like our plan is a straight line and the actual plan is like all curvy, climbing over rocks. And that's how it is sometimes. And, you know, there are the plans I've had that have went smoothly, but more times than not, you know, it either took a little extra time or I had to go over a bump in the road to get to it. But just to continue to believe in yourself. And like you said, well, the one thing is that support system. I think that helps because, you know, we all get down. We all have our tough days. But to have those people in your corner who love you, who believe in you, who, you know, it happens all the time. They just say that one thing you needed to hear, didn't even know you needed it. And it just lifts your mood, lifts your day, and gives you that strength to continue striving and pursuing those things that you love and believe you can accomplish or that you want to do. So that's big for me. And you know, I hope that everybody continues to, you know, believe in yourself and go ahead and strive for whatever your biggest dream is. Know that no matter what and no matter what anybody else just says, you can do it. Just don't be afraid to put the work in and, you know, trust in it. And even if that doesn't exactly happen, sometimes, you know, you get a bigger blessing and a bigger dream to come manifest out of that original dream that you had.
Right. That's awesome. Great advice. Well, it's been such a pleasure having you on the show today, Rashard. I know that you're on a few social platforms. Where's the best place if kids want to follow you or connect with you? Where's the best place online for them to do that?
For me, it's Instagram or Twitter. Just Rashard Fant together. I usually come up. It'll be easy. I think both my pictures, one of my Instagram pictures is just me and one of my football uniforms. And then Twitter, I think, is me for my wedding. Pretty easy to find. Try to make it as simple as possible.
Yeah, awesome. Well, thanks for being on the show today, Rashard.
No, thank you. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for joining us today on Virtual School Assembly. If you enjoyed the episode, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever else you listen to virtual assemblies. And leave us a rating and review so we know what you learned and took away from this virtual assembly. Videos and show notes are found at virtualschoolassembly.com. And if you're a school leader and you're looking for a speaker for virtual or traditional in-school assemblies, or if you're looking for some teacher training, I'd love to connect with you to see how I can help. You can check out my website at tylerchristensen.com. Thanks, you are super duper. Let's go out and make the world a better place. Bye-bye.